My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford. He represents the Sooner State's 5th Congressional District and is also a member of the House Budget Committee. The budget for the coming fiscal year is one of the major topics on the House floor this week, and we're expecting a vote probably later today on what the official House budget blueprint will be for the coming fiscal year. But there's a lot of different ideas out there and plenty of votes still to take. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be able to be with you, give you an update.
Well, the big story from last night was that one of your colleagues, I believe it was Congressman Mulvaney from South Carolina, offered up the president's budget for an up or down vote, and it lost 414 to nothing. How did that happen?
That would be correct. Not a single Democrat voted for the president's budget. And initially, I think they saw that so few Democrats were going to vote for it, they just encouraged everyone to vote against it rather than just be completely humiliated. The reality is that the president's budget adds an incredible amount of debt. Everyone knows it. It really doesn't get spending under control. It really doesn't deal with the entitlement issues. It really doesn't resolve the issues. It's a political document, but it's not a real blueprint plan. And no one was willing to stand by it.
There's a couple different explanations for why that may have happened. Number one is that they don't want to be on the record voting for a specific budget with that adds a lot to the debt, which is why we haven't seen a lot of Democratic budgets in recent years. The other is that it was brought forward by a Republican and they disagreed with the procedural nature of this. How do you comment on that?
Well, sure. We'd be glad to have a Democrat bring it forward, but no Democrat would bring it forward. And the president said he wanted a vote on his budget. Well, here's the vote on his budget. And since no Democrat would actually bring that out, then we decided to go ahead and bring it out on our own.
And I know that your leadership is allowing a lot of different ideas here, but I would imagine that for the most part, at the end of the day or the end of the debate, we're expecting the final vote to be on the Ryan budget. Is that correct?
That would be correct. And there are a lot of different budget options. The Congressional Black Caucus brought out a budget proposal. The Progressive Caucus brought out a budget proposal. Erskine Bowles and Simpson budget was brought out. So there are a lot of different possibilities that were out there, and all those have been voted down so far significantly.
When you look at the Ryan plan, the hallmarks, of course, are to cut about $5.3 trillion in spending over 10 years, balance the budget by about 2040, to obviously take on major entitlement reform, which is the major driver of debt. What are the biggest differences, if any, from between this bill and his bill from last year?
Sure. Let me give you a couple details, and let me correct one thing right off the bat, though. The way that the CBO does scoring, they do what's called static scoring. They leave everything consistent as far as the economy, everything, and don't take into anything account that there'll be any benefit from taxes or anything. When you actually score what's called a dynamic score on the budget that we're voting on today, we balance within 7 years rather than as a long-term balance out there. If you leave everything static as if nothing changes ever, then it has as far distant balance date. But we really believe the economy will grow, even if it's just 0.5% better, with a better tax policy and with reduced government spending, putting more emphasis in the private sector. So we do see a much faster balance date than what is out there as the quote-unquote official date on it. But the big deal for us is really trying to deal a couple things. One is a two-tier tax system, 10%, 25%, and the other one is trying to fix Medicare, which every senior adult I talk to all says the same thing. This is going broke. We know it. It's got to be fixed.
And in terms of getting this budget passed, last year, of course, it died in the Senate, never made it to the president's desk. Same makeup, essentially, of Congress. So are we headed for a repeat performance?
Probably. The Senate, the way this is supposed to work, according to the 1974 Budget Act, is that the House passes a budget, the Senate passes a budget, and then we reconcile the two. So it actually never even gets to the president. It's just something the legislative branch does because we have the purse. But the problem is, if the Senate never takes up a budget, never even passes it out of committee, then there's no reconciliation possibility. There's no way to be able to resolve a final number between the House and the Senate. That's what the Senate has done for the last 3 years, and they've already announced to us they're going to continue to do that to keep us from reconciling our budget, which is absolutely remarkable to me, that the Senate would rather do nothing and just leave us on status quo, which they know is this infinite debt, rather than try to fix it and deal with the hard issues and take tough votes. It's time to take tough votes. We've got to take this on.
And just yesterday, we spoke with Congressman Jordan, who chairs the Republican Study Committee, and the RSC has put out a budget of its own, which it says agrees in a large part with a lot of what the Ryan budget does, but they're a little more aggressive on reducing discretionary spending to slightly below 2008 levels, and they want to block grant Medicaid to the states. Has that come up yet, and what was your opinion on that, if it has?
We're actually on the floor right now. I actually just voted yes for that and then stepped off the floor, and then we are currently in the middle of that vote rolling through right now. So we'll see where that goes. But that the main difference on it is not just the Medicaid, because the Ryan plan also does the Medicaid block granting, because we feel like the states will be more efficient at weeding out the fraud and abuse than the federal government has been. But it's a more aggressive cut in discretionary programs faster. And it lines up with the sequestration. The sequestration that is coming in January, if we don't do something about it, the RSC budget tries to correct that faster and to be able to take that into account right now.
Whether or not the House and Senate can ever agree on a budget, which seems pretty unlikely right now, one of the huge differences between where Republicans and Democrats are right now is on defense spending, whereas Democrats, and led by the president, want to reduce it pretty substantially through sequestration and through defense cuts outside of that. In both the RSC budget and the Ryan budget, defense spending is kept intact. Congressman Jordan saying yesterday that's the one area where we're supposed to actually spend the taxpayer money. Where does this fight come down with such different versions and visions between the Democrats who have the majority in the Senate and the Republicans who have the majority in the House? How will that shake out this year?
Yeah, ultimately, we're going to try to protect defense everywhere we can. But ultimately, the president's going to draw that as commander-in-chief. Some of the strategy that happens there, we'll have to control some of the spending aspects of it. But the only thing the president has recommended in the past 3 years, every single year of cutting, has been defense. In other areas, he's tried to increase our food stamp program. He's increased our entitlement programs. He's increased our energy programs. He's increased all these for the alternative energies, that is. Increase all these different programs with the exception of defense, and it's cut every single year. This year's the biggest by far. And so that's been the one consistency of that. We've got to push back and say we need a strong national defense. That doesn't just mean dollars. That also means strategy. But dollars do need to come in when we've got 50-year-old planes. I was in a conversation with someone earlier this morning that flew KC-130s in Vietnam that we're still flying in Afghanistan right now. So we have to be able to resolve some of our equipment issues. There is an area for waste in the federal government in defense, but it's not on the backs of our soldiers and our veterans.
Congressman, it sounds like you weren't too impressed with the different Democratic ideas out there. Obviously, they didn't want the president's budget. What were some of the common ideas that, whether it's the Congressional Black Caucus or some of the other groups putting forward their versions of a budget?
Well, let me give you my favorite. When we actually went through the House budget and going through committee, one of the amendments that came in that the Democrats supported and every single Democrat voted for was an amendment to raise taxes on oil companies and then take the money from that raised accelerated tax to then write a check to every American who owns a registered vehicle to offset the high gas prices. So the picture is raise the price of gas even more by raising taxes on energy companies and then somehow to process how we're going to send a check to every American. It's cash for clunkers all over again. And it's the type of thing that every single Democrat voted for that I think if we were not here in a Republican majority in the House of Representatives, that would have passed. And we would be in process of trying to figure out how to track every state-registered vehicle and send them a check to somehow offset the gas prices. The free market can correct this if we will increase supply and if we will deal with the availability issue, which means we get it from North America, not from the Middle East. If we can correct that, the price will come down on it. But if they're still determined on increasing taxes and increasing regulations to try to solve the problem, we're never going to fix it. But it was one of the clearest examples of this whole budget process of how different the two parties really think.
Last question, Congressman. Do you get the sense that your side is gaining momentum on budget priorities? And since this is an election year, do you think that this budget debate, whether or not you can ever reach consensus with the other side of the Hill, will set some pretty stark parameters between the two parties?
Yeah, we've not been afraid to say this is a choice of two futures. Future of increased taxes, increased regulations, or the increase of freedom and reducing taxes and increasing efficiency. It is very stark when you get to the budget realities.
Congressman?
So, yeah, we are setting that very clear picture out there. Whether the Senate ever takes this up or not, we want the American people to be able to resolve this November and to say, we want you to understand, here's the president's budget, and here's what he proposes, here's what House Republicans are proposing. You need to choose because we're deadlocked in Congress, in the administrative, and the executive branch. So pick which way that you want to go as an American people, and then we're going to go that way. And that will be resolved in November.
Sir, we'll be following it all. Thank you very much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Absolutely. Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.